Now, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Berean Baptist Church on this Sunday. Glad that you're here. Glad for those who are joining us online as well. It'll be a special day as we look forward to hearing from Brother Randy Tanis, the camp director at Camp Chautauqua in Chautauqua, Wisconsin. I've known him for many, many years, and we're still good friends. what a blessing what God is doing there at Camp Chautauqua. So we'll be hearing from him shortly. A couple of things to remember. Out on the bulletin board is a sign-up sheet for the open house for the 70th wedding anniversary of Lauren and Gene Douglas. So please sign up on the bulletin board if you're planning to attend that. And I believe the date on that is May 4th. May 4th. Next Sunday after the morning service is our quarterly ministry meeting, so come prepared for that special event. It's always a blessing to see what God is doing and what he is planning for us to accomplish in the year ahead, so look forward to that as well. Steve's going to come and lead us in our closing hymn. Wow. That was quick. And we're not going to close that quick. Our opening hymn. Here we go.
As you're turning in your hymnal to hymn number 58, if you need the book, it's All Creatures of Our God and King. The last weekend in April, we are going to start taking the siding off of the old church building. If you've got a crowbar, if you've got a hammer or a ladder or something that you want to help us do that, come join us. We've got another church that's going to come and help us in taking off the siding. So our goal for those 2 days is to get all the siding off, cut it up, get it in a dumpster, and out of here. So, but if you're able to help us, we would like your muscles and your strength. If it's a Friday and a Saturday, if you could help us be there, that we'll start probably, let's just say 8:30, 9 o'clock. And no neighbors really to bother us or have to worry about that close. Maple Brook might be a little close, but we'll start about 8:30, all right? So we're looking forward to getting all that off on those 2 days, if that's possible, so. Let's stand and sing this first hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King, hymn number 58, if you need the book. Thank you. You may be seated.
Great singing this morning. Keep it up. 1 Peter chapter 1. Brother Tanis will be preaching from this passage this morning. I thought I'd read first 11 verses of 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. God has blessing upon the reading of his word this morning and the preaching of that word later on. Let's pray for your blessing, his blessing upon us this morning. Father in heaven, thank you for the ministry of your word. We've come to hear what you have to say. And I pray your blessing upon the messenger of the morning, Brother Tanis, as he brings to us the message from your precious word. Help us, Lord, not only to listen, we would take it to heart and to do it in our life. Whatever you challenge us to do, I pray, Lord, that we would be willing servants and obedient servants to that word. Bless this day as we worship you in it. Thank you, Father, for the grace and mercy and peace that you have abundantly bestowed upon us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. Steve's going to come and lead us, not in the closing hymn, but in a happy birthday song. Lauren Douglas is celebrating his 90th birthday today. That's quite a milestone. So Steve, come and lead us in that happy birthday.
Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dad. Happy birthday.
Hymn number 54 as we continue, all right? Hymn number 54.
I am walking right beneath the justice sky, and now behind them is the God who lies, who fixed the stars each in its holy and wrap them in a dark and robust name.
Saints, the sight is glorious. Hymn number 28, if you need the book. We'll do all four verses. Verse this week, Psalm 103, verse 1. So let's say the reference, the verse, and then the reference together. We should know this one. All right? Together, Psalm 103, 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Psalm 103, 1. Our hymn of the month is Christ is Sufficient. This one will be on the slides. I don't have a handout for this one, all right? Four verses of this song, we'll sing all four verses.
Christ is sufficient, his work finished, he is.
Hymn number 156, and how can it be? We're going to keep the children here till after the special music. Pastor Randy's going to show a video on camp, and he wants the kids to see that. So he'll dismiss the kids for junior church, all right? So if you're able, would you stand with me as we sing, How Can It Be? How Can It Be? Thank you. You may be seated. Before Pastor introduces our speaker again this morning, Mr. Nate Sandahl to sing for us at this time.
As I was looking at this song, I didn't even know there was three verses to it. I was looking at a different hymnal, and there's three verses to it. You normally only hear the first two.
Exhausted our store of endurance,
our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limits, His grace has no measure, His love has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Fear not that thy need shall exceed His provision. Our God ever yearns His resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting, availing the Father both thee and thy load will upbear. His love has no limit, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again.
Thank you, Nate. God is a giver. Satan is a taker. And what a blessing to be on the giving side. And to know that the gifts of God are perfect for us. And it comes from His infinite resources of His grace and love. It's a blessing to have Brother Randy Tanis with us for this day, and he's got his display up in the back for the camp. He'll mention that, I imagine, and invite you to stop by if you have any questions. And he's going to come at this time and give us a little update, quick update on the camp ministry, and then preach to us from God's Word. Good to have you with us, brother.
Yes, sir.
All right. Since the kids are still here, I wanted you to take you 3 minutes to camp. This is actually from our last summer. And so you go with us to camp, and since it was 80 degrees yesterday, you can fit right in with us. So we'll take you to camp for a couple minutes.
Thank you.
All right, who saw something they'd like to do at camp, okay? Before the kids go, one of the things, I was a youth pastor for 21 years, and I would do rope tricks as a youth pastor. And I told my wife when we went to camp, I said, well, can I do rope tricks at camp? She goes, you're the director. You can do anything you want, okay? And so we kind of teach the kids one sin leads to another sin, and that sin leads to another sin. And pretty soon life's a mess because of sin. But what Christ can do is take those sins away. And so we actually teach the kids that rope trick during our mission chapel. And one boy came to camp, a teenager, several years ago, and he came up to me at camp. He goes, Pastor Randy, that rope trick really works. I said, I know. I've been doing it for 30 years. He goes, no, my cousin came home from camp with his rope, and he did that rope trick and shared the illustration, and he led me to Christ, and that's why I came to camp this week. And so just some neat ways to do some things that the kids enjoy. We also do another rope trick where you snap a knot, but I won't do that today. So, all right, so our junior church kids, you can head out to your class this time. And then if you're here, turning your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Your pastor was with us for our pastor's toolbox, and we enjoyed having that. And just Monday and Tuesday, had about 50 pastors there. And just to share, kind of a neat topic was how to deal with the culture that's around your church, and how to deal with some of them. And so that was a challenging time, and just enjoyed meeting with the pastors. He texted me when he got home, he forgot his hat, okay? And he was sitting at the table that I was at, and he had to show me his Minnesota Viking hat there in the table. And so he texted me, and I said, well, I told our staff, I said, any garbage that was left, just throw it away. So I said, I'm sure it got thrown away, okay? And, but it didn't, and I was gonna do this. I honestly was gonna do this. I totally forgot. Since I'm from Wisconsin, I was gonna come, and I was gonna bring a Packer hat and present it to him. And his wife was excited. She told me she's a Packer fan. I'm impressed. There's a winner in that home, okay? And, but we enjoy him. And, when I was in high school, I loved to play sports. I was a football player, baseball player. And so actually my intent was to go be an engineer. I was going to go to Michigan Tech, which is in northern Wisconsin. I grew up in northern Michigan. I grew up in Michigan, and I was going to go there and play football until my, youth leader, our public school teacher in our school there, I was in public school, he challenged me. He said, Randy, the one regret I have in life was I wish I would have gone to a year of Bible college before I went off to become a teacher. He said, would you consider going to a Bible college for 1 year and then go to Michigan Tech? And so I kind of sarcastically said to him, sure, if you find a Bible college where they play football, I'll go. And so he came back with, his wife came back with a brochure at that time with Pillsbury Maranatha. And ended up choosing Maranatha. And so I went to Maranatha with intent to be there for a year, and then I go to be an engineer at Michigan Tech. But evangelist Jerry Savinsky comes and preaches. In fact, I just found this note. My wife was going through some papers, and when you were a freshman at Maranatha, they were all in the preacher boy class, so we had to take notes of all of our classes, I mean all of our sermons. So all the chapel services and the special. And so I was going through this notebook, and one particular page fell out. I thought, that's interesting. I picked it up, and I've always said that it was during my freshman year, Jerry Savinsky was preaching, that the Lord worked in my heart that I ended up surrendering to preach. And I found the message that he preached that night, and it was on God's will and how to find it. And his last point was using the scripture, and the next day in my morning devotions, I was reading in the Gospels, and it said, and he went out to preach, and he went out to preach, and he went out to preach. And that day I surrendered to be a preacher. So obviously I didn't go to Michigan Tech. I stayed at Maranatha. I played football there for 4 years. And so when I went to be a youth pastor, you know, of course, the first thing we did, I was a youth pastor there in Watertown, Wisconsin, where Maranatha is, at Calvary Baptist Church. And my wife said, does every single youth activity has to revolve around sports? I said, of course, okay. And, but then we changed it. But I still love playing football. So when your pastor comes, we do during the teen weeks, we do a flag football game. And usually he quarterbacks one team and I quarterback the other team. And I won't tell you who wins, okay? But we have a fun time. And so I can still, you know, sometimes they call me Brett Favre, sometimes Aaron Rodgers. And now I hope it's Jordan Love, okay? But depends. You know, usually I can throw passes for about the first 10 minutes and then they start going in all different directions. But we have a good time. Enjoy your pastor coming over and bringing kids. That's the most important thing. Is the teenagers that have been come over to see, to be able to minister to them. And so we're excited about that. This summer, I shared in Sunday school that we're going to be, our theme is on the table back there. Pick up a brochure. There's also a bunch of stickers back there, Camp Chautauqua ones, and then also the logos. Those are for you to take, stick them somewhere. And sometimes when we're recruiting at the colleges, there's usually my program director, Matt, and a couple other people. And so sometimes while one of us is talking to the person, the other will take one of the stickers and stick it on the back of their backpack, okay? And then they'll go, so where'd this come from, okay? It's a sign you're supposed to go work at camp, okay? So we enjoy just promoting the camp. And so pick up some brochures. There's one about the Senior Saints there in May, also the fishing and golf activities. And so we'd love to have you come. But this summer is Amazon Adventure. When we announced that, we had a camp conference there. When we mentioned the Amazon Adventure, they said, what are you going to do, have a bunch of orders from Amazon? No, we're going to the rainforest, okay? And if you know anything about the rainforest, we've been doing a little bit of study about that, but it was a very challenging place. And so we've chosen 1 Peter, and what our theme this summer is going to be hope in hard times. Just because the people there in the rainforest had some difficult things. And so we're going to be going through the book of 1 Peter. So for the next 4 hours, we're going to go through the whole book of 1 Peter, okay? No, usually get done about 12:30, 1 o'clock. Okay, no. But I was youth pastor. We had neighborhood Bible come to our church. And one of the evangelists that was with us, he was going to preach that morning. And we started at 10 o'clock. And so we usually got done about 11:15. And so he said, Pastor Randy, what time does the service get done? And I said, 11:15. He thought I said 11:50. So this young preacher boy is up there preaching and he's looking at the clock and he preaches his sermon. He's going, I got to keep preaching. And everybody's like, how come he keeps going? Okay. And he told me later, but I won't do that. Okay. But I do want to go through the book of 1 Peter with you, kind of summarize what we're going to be talking about this summer. So every day this summer, starting in June, middle of June at 7 o'clock, and think about what we'll be preaching about, and it's hope in hard times. And so we see, as your pastor read, go to verse 3 of chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so we first see the first word there, that hope we have in Jesus Christ. And I want to just encourage you. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's happening in your life right now, what circumstances are there. But just to encourage you, there's hope in Jesus Christ. And so that's what we want to look at this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for pastor, his wife, the ministry they've had for years to faithfully serve and to reach into this community. And God, you continue to bless them. And now as we look into your word, that you'll encourage our hearts, challenge us today, afresh and anew with this book that you have for us, that we might have hope in Jesus Christ, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope in hard times. There's several different aspects we want to look at this. The first one that I think came out, this idea, is number one, we need to be praising in our salvation. Praising in our salvation. We see there in verse 4, he starts right out, great. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to, notice, his abundant mercy. Okay, he's given us something that we do not deserve, hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Today, you can be here in a Baptist church here in America because we have hope in Jesus Christ. We have hope with what Jesus Christ has done for him by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so we need to praise him. Man looks for hope. But you know, man's hope ends in despair. Throughout the ages, men and women have offered promises, dreams, hopes, only to have them end in frustration and defeat. Any hope in this world at its best is temporary, and its worst, empty and false. But the believer has a living hope. Salvation is the greatest blessing of all. And so we see that lively hope, and interesting some things about this salvation. We need to praise God in salvation. Number one, we see here, because we have a home secure in heaven. Look at, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Stop and think about this today. We have a home reserved in heaven for you because of Jesus Christ. That's our hope today. And so we have that home. It's undefiled. It fadeth not away. It's reserved. It's in heaven for each one of you. I like the personal aspect of it, for you. We don't have time to do this now, but if we had time and I came around and said, tell me about when you prayed and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You made salvation personal to you. It's interesting because I did not know I was going to be going into Camp Work, but as a sixth grader, I went to Lake Ann Camp in Michigan. And that Tuesday night is the night I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And have that home reserved in heaven because of Jesus Christ. But also we see that this salvation helps us to grow in our faith. Look at verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, yet ye in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so, not only is this salvation, but he says we're going to grow in our faith as we trust in Jesus Christ. We can't say a person gets saved and then life's going to be great the rest of your life. That's not what he's saying here. It's interesting as he writes to these believers to say that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried and with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so we stop and think about whatever God has us going through, it's trying our faith to help us to be strengthened, to be encouraged as we go through our life. And so we need to praise God in our salvation. It's this precious home, this special home for us. And so we're thankful for that. But we continue on and look at verse 13. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the first hope we see was in salvation. But the second hope I want us to look at is this idea of sanctification. Not only are we praising God in our salvation, but secondly, we're progressing in our sanctification. And the salvation produces a radical change, but we want to see that continue. And as followers of Christ, we must live these holy lives. It's interesting, as he says here, wherefore gird up, or in other words, prepare yourself, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he gives us this matter of sanctification. What is sanctification? It's a growing process to become more like Christ. You know, I with the teenagers, we have a program called Team. And one of the aspects of Team is to teach young people to serve. And one of the passages I use is from 2 Timothy, where it teaches in 2 Timothy chapter 3, number one, that we're saved, and then we learn the scripture, and we're prepared to serve. And it talks about that we might be perfect or mature. I always ask this, you know, at what age is a person mature? Have you ever seen a junior higher that's mature? They don't exist, okay? When I was youth pastor, I had the senior high, and then I also had a junior high youth staff. And I told anybody, I said, if you can work with junior high for like 2 or 3 years, you can go in any ministry in the world, okay? Where they were there in training. So junior hires are just going through that change of life from being a child to a teenager. Now, are there any teenagers, high school teenagers that are mature? Okay, maybe one, okay. Then we get to the college age, you know, and we have, that's who comes in the summertime. And I ask the question, are there any college age kids that are mature? I have to be honest, I'm seeing less and less, okay. But then, okay, then you get to be married and adult, then you're mature, right? Or you become a pastor and you're in your 60s, then you're mature, right? You lose your hair, okay? I don't know, okay? People say, Pastor, you're not mature. You're still a teenager, okay? 40-some years working with them. Enjoy it. But it's the idea of this. It's a growing process. And I ask you this question today. Number one, yeah, we praise God in our salvation, but how are you due in your sanctification? Are you growing as a Christian? As you look back over the year and say, how have I grown? Look at what it says, verse 14, as obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or in all manner of lifestyle. And so here's where this sanctification comes into play. He challenges us, as it says in verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so we stop and see, as he tells us, to gird up our loins, to be sober, to hope. Why do you and I need to be holy? Why do we need to live as obedient children? And we just have to stop because of the character of God. This passage has always been a challenge to me. And try to think, he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so our goal is to strive to be like Christ and to see what he can do for us, to what we can do and how we can be. And so we strive to be like Christ because of the character of God. He is holy, so we need to be holy. And because of what he stands for, and we stop and think of his holiness. Now we cannot obtain it, but we can strive in our lives to be holy. I guess as people look at your life, what do they say? What is distinctive about your life? And I trust that we can say that my goal is to be holy, for I am holy. We're striving to be like Christ. Now continue on as he says. Verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as with silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Who, I love this, verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, that he was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now stop and think about this. Not only do we need to strive in our sanctification because of God's character, but also because of what Christ has done for us. What an example he has been to us. And I mentioned this idea of hope. He reminds us again here that we're striving. Verse 21, look at it again. Who by him, Jesus Christ, do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, and that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing that ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again. Now, when we stop and think about this idea of sanctification, becoming like Christ, that we might be holy. Go to chapter 3, just for a moment, and we'll come back here. Chapter 3, verse 15. And he says this, but sanctify, we're talking about the sanctification, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of, here's the word again, of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So why do we need to have progression in our sanctification? Why? Because here, to me, this is so neat. that in this sanctification, the Lord, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks us the reason of the hope that's within you. Have you ever had someone come up to you and say, why are you so happy? Why do you have so much hope? What a great opportunity to share about Jesus Christ. When we moved to Chautauqua 20 years ago, the camp had gone into some financial struggles, and so they didn't have a lot to pay. And so they offered us 1 acre of property on the back part of camp. We've got 125 acres, and there's a on the back part in the woods. And so we clear cut the lot, and we were putting up a house. But across the street, our neighbor Irene. And so I remember the first time we drove and we parked the pickup there, the camp pickup, and Kip and I got out to kind of look at the property, and she came out of her house and she was upset because we had parked one of the tires on her property. It's like, get that truck off my property. Okay. I mean, that's first they met our neighbor. Okay. And then as we then started clear cutting the lot, and then as I hired someone to come and dig it out, she came out. She goes, Randy, she goes, that house is not far enough right back from the road. I said, Irene, it needs to be 33 feet from the center line. I mean, I had all the codes there, and it's actually 50 feet, so we're okay. Oh, okay. So, and then she goes, I mean, she basically said, I don't want you to be my neighbor, okay? And so that's how it was for the first couple years. Our son, Mark, was with us. When we moved to Chautauqua, our two oldest went off to Maranatha to college, so we had four still at home. And so I had Mark and Luke and Marissa and Mitchell there, and we wanted to try to do something for this neighbor, okay? And so when the first winter came, of course, she lived by herself. She had lost her husband several years ago. So I had the boys go over and shovel her driveway for her. And she was like, why did they do that? You know, it's like suspicious of everything. And then her son bought her a computer, and it sat for weeks. And then one time when the boys went over to shovel snow, she said, could one of your boys help me set up my computer? I said, sure, Mark can do that, because Mark's our computer guy. So Mark went in there and basically turned it on, okay? but set it up for her. And so over this time, we began to find this lady that did not want us there. And I remember one time, she goes, why are you guys always so happy? And it took years over just building that relationship. And finally, I remember my wife, we visited her in the hospital. She had a disease in her foot, and wasn't expected to live a long time. But I remember we went to the nursing home, and it was at Christmas time. And one of the local, actually a Lutheran church, had given them a bedspread with the Christmas story on it. So my wife shared the story with Irene, and she had totally rejected everything to do with the gospel for years until that day. My wife went through the gospel story of Christmas with her. And she asked Irene, would you like to pray and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior? And she said, yes. And my wife looks at me and says, you take it from here, okay? And but it took a lot of time. But I remember her asking, why are you guys so happy? And I hope that once you know, we recognize that we have salvation. We're growing in our sanctification to become holy, to become like Christ. Why? So you and I can give an answer to those people that ask. And I hope that in your life, wherever God's placed you, that he puts you in a place where people see your life and can ask, where's that hope? Why do you have that hope? Why when you go through these difficult times, you still have hope? It's because of Jesus Christ. And so we see that we are progressing in our sanctification. Then go to chapter 4. Chapter 4, and we get to verse 7. It says, verse 8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And then look at this. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So what I call this here is the idea that we are preparing for service. As we go through the hope in these hard times, number one, we see praising God in salvation. We're progressing in our sanctification and growing. Why? That we might be preparing for service. And so it's interesting that he wants us to be able to serve. And serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And he talks about here in verse 8, and above all things have fervent charity or love among yourselves. For charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. One of the interesting things in camp is I do a workshop with the staff. They come in for training. And one of the workshops I do is about showing God's love. Because sometimes it tells us in Jude, and of some have compassion making a difference. And so you in your life as a Christian, as you grow in your sanctification in your life, have an opportunity to show and share the love of Christ. And sometimes that's the only thing that makes a difference. And sometimes that how can you and I show this fervent love? One person put it this way. How can we show ways of Christian love? Number one, to listen without interrupting. Number two, to speak without accusing. Number three, to give without sparingly. To pray without ceasing. To answer without arguing. To share without pretending. To enjoy without complaint. To trust without wavering. To forgive without punishing. To promise without forgetting. And so ways to show our love. But it's interesting here, as he wants us to prepare for service. Now look at verse number 8. And above all things, or 8, verse number 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister or serve the same one to another. Stop and think about this. Why did God save you? Okay? We came to the point of salvation. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Okay? It wasn't just he saved us and took us to heaven. We're still here. He saved us that we might grow in our life and prepare us to serve our Savior. And he says, as every man hath received a gift. I don't know what your gift is. I don't know what talent God has given to you. Your song leader gets up here and does a great job. Beautiful voice. You don't want to hear me sing. Okay, you guys would all leave right now. This would be the conclusion of the sermon. But I'm not gifted with music. But you know, I'm thankful that the Lord has given me a gift and ability. I've been working with teenagers for over 40 years. And I still enjoy doing it. I turned 65 this year and I'm not reminding myself of that. You know, when I was in college, I thought 65-year-olds were really old, okay? Now they're young, okay? But, you know, I don't know what gift God has given to you. Maybe it's hospitality. Maybe it's just to be an encourager. But God has given you a gift. Why? He wants you to use it. Look at what it says here. And as every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Think about this. God has gifted you by his grace. And now he wants us, in verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If many men minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion in forever and ever. This is what's so neat, is God has gifted you so you might use that gift that he's given to you, as it says here. Why? That he might be glorified. It's not about us. It's not about what we get out of this. It's about the glory that we can give to God when we use the talents and abilities that God has given to us. Our society, it's really all about us. I'm a basketball fan. In fact, when we have the pastor's toolbox, we seem to always have it at the first part of April, so we all watch the basketball game together. And so we were watching UConn and Purdue play. I had a little bit of special interest because in the Final Four, Alabama's coach, is Nate Oates. Nate was a teenager when I was youth pastor. I was his youth pastor. And in fact, I have video footage of him playing basketball in our yard, and I'm trying to dig it off the computer so I could send it to someone down in Alabama. And so I kind of had a special interest in watching it. But it's interesting watching sports today. I've been watching this, and so many of these athletes, especially now in college basketball, they get into what's called the transfer portal. They think they're good, they think they're better than they are, and so I'm going to transfer someplace else, and it's all about me. And what I can do and how I can take the next step. And that's how life is, really. But let me encourage you, as a Christian, when we recognize we're saved, we grow in our sanctification, then you and I get to use the gifts and the talents and abilities God has given to us, as it says here in this verse, that we, in all these things, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister or serve, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. God gives you that ability that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And here's the neat part. You and I can glorify our God as we learn to serve. Our team program. As a youth pastor, I remember I mentioned that, you know, I went first couple years of the youth group, everything was sports. And then I realized, why am I a youth pastor? And God gave me the passage in 2 Timothy, number one, to see people saved, to teach them the scripture, and prepare them to serve. And so for the next 17 or 18 years as youth pastor, we took the kids on mission trips. Went to Mexico. We actually went to the inner city of Detroit, the inner city of Minneapolis, the inner city of Baltimore. I just was burdened for getting these kids out serving. And what I wanted to teach them is you have some talents and abilities. Use them to glorify our Savior. And it's neat to see many of those kids all around the world in different places serving the Lord today. And I'm thankful for that. But I just want to encourage you. I don't know what it is that God has gifted you with. What ability. But I know the church has needs. And you can use your talents, your gifts, your abilities to minister to others so we can glorify our Savior. And so we're preparing for service. But then also in chapter 4, and we see in verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning that fiery trial which is to try you as though some have strange thing happen to you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of God's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceedingly joy. And so the last thing is, you know, not only are we praising him in salvation, we're progressing in our sanctification, we're preparing to serve, but here's what's neat. We're also preserved in our suffering. We're preserved in our suffering. And he says here that don't give up. Test a required course in the Christian life, someone said. And yet there's hope beyond those trials. And it's interesting to see, you know, the coach from the Packers, Vince Lombardi, said this, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And another person said this, they saw a bumper sticker that said this, when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. No, that's not the case, okay? I hate shopping, okay? But I don't know what's going on. But here's what he says, is that we need to realize that we are preserved. God is there to help us in our suffering. Look again what it says there in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning that fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. I mean, everybody else, like, what is going on? But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that with his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. In verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory in God resteth upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. And so, it's just interesting, through this whole book, Peter is addressing them. It's okay, you're going to go through trials. He said in chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, he says there, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold, Now he gets here in this fiery trial that comes, and he goes, he reminds us that we are going to be preserved. We need to expect suffering, as he says in verse 12. It's going to happen. But then we can experience joy. Because as we stop and look back and see what God has done through this, and we have the joy of serving Jesus. And then he wants us to grow in our faith, that we might be strengthened. And then even verse 15, look at verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody, another man's servant. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Don't be ashamed. Sometimes we look and say, why am I going through this? Why am I doing this? It's God's way of bringing glory to himself. And so we've got us what's going on that we might glorify God on his behalf. And so that's an opportunity that you and I get to have. And you know, we see finally in chapter 5, the perfecting by the Savior. He preserves us, but now also he perfects. Look at verse 10, kind of end here. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered for a while, will make you perfect or mature. He'll establish, he'll strengthen, he'll settle you. And so it's interesting to me that as he goes through this whole book, and we don't have time to look at it, we just skimmed it, but he boils it all down to kind of this end where he says, okay, here it is. The God of all grace, who's called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After you suffer, after you've gone through some of these hard times, remember that he'll make you perfect or complete. He'll establish, he'll strengthen, and he'll settle you. To me, I like how he just, you know, I'm an alliterated person, okay? So he alliterated it for us. But here's what he's saying. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to establish you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to settle you. And so I don't know what you're going through in your life, but just be reminded that God is there to care for you, to give you that hope in hard times, regardless of what's going. And he's preparing us to be his servants so we can give an answer of that hope that is in you. And I trust that you will just this week live, be reminded of that hope we have in Jesus Christ and an opportunity to share that hope with others. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage and just been dear to my heart for so many weeks now, just to read it, to study it, to think about that hope we have in Jesus Christ. And I pray that as a church today, the folks here will recognize the hope they have in Christ and recognize that opportunity to grow in their Christian lives, to use their talents and abilities to glorify you. And God, that you'll get all the glory for whatever's done, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Randy. Appreciate that exposition of 1 Peter. It begins with salvation. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, that's where it begins. It continues as you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Continues as we are preparing for service and allowing the trials and difficulties of life to shape us and mold us to be more like Christ. So as Randy mentioned, we don't know where you're at spiritually, but you're somewhere along those lines if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And what a blessing to be able to say we have hope. We have a living hope, and not just lively, but a living hope in Jesus Christ. Steve's going to come and lead us now in our closing hymn. And if we can be of help to you in any way, we want to share what God's word has to say about your need today. So Steve, come and lead us.
If you need the book, it's hymn number 390, I Surrender All. Let's stand together. We're going to sing two verses of I Surrender All.
To Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ask.
Father, as we sing this song, Lord, there's two options. Lord, as an unbeliever, Lord, to surrender our lives to accept you as their personal Savior. Lord, acknowledge our sin and ask you for forgiveness and come into our lives that we might then serve you and ask for repentance. Father, then there's the other option, Lord, of believers. Lord, help us to surrender every part of our life that we might be that vessel that would be clean, that would be wanting to serve you, that we can, Lord, serve you to the best that we know how. Lord, I pray that as we take this decision, Lord, that we might think through it and, Lord, make it today. Thank you, Lord, for our time together in the Word of God. Help us to continue to strive to be what you want us to be. We pray in thy name. Amen.